Welcome into After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. I'm Drew Nixon, Julio Sanchez producing the show solo today. Hopefully Mac is safely traveling down to Nashville. You want to participate in the show? 913-586-7965. Here with you for the next 2 hours. We're talking Chiefs. We're talking the rest of the league apparently being incompetent. College football, of course, because you're dealing with me. Out of left field question coming at 8 o'clock. Also, some WNBA stuff. Patrick Mahomes had multiple things to say today regarding the potential for a WNBA team to be coming here to Kansas City. Very exciting news potentially on the horizon there regarding the WNBA and the expansion talks for them. But I want to talk about something that, if you missed it, happened today on the Rich Eisen show. I didn't know about it until about an hour ago. Xavier Worthy, yes, the Chiefs rookie wide receiver, was on the Rich Eisen show today. And the rest of the league is I don't know how the rest of the league does this, but they find a way to just be crazy and make no sense. Xavier Worthy was on the Rich Eisen show today and said that one team called him on draft night, but they didn't draft him. Here's Xavier Worthy in that appearance of Rich Eisen on which team it was and why he didn't think it was a mistake.
Really, if draft day was crazy, I had got a call at like 15, 16, I think it was the Colts, hung up the phone in my face. It was a little crazy. But
What happened?
The Colts called my phone on draft day and hung up the phone.
You said hello, and then that was a click? There was a click?
They said, hello, this is so-and-so with the Colts, and then for the call, like, they stopped talking, and they hung up.
Wow. So they did. Are you sure there wasn't like a disconnection?
I'm positive. In the night going on, end up getting a call from the Chiefs when they traded with Buffalo. I really originally didn't know they traded with Buffalo. So when it was on the clock, I'm seeing the call. I'm like, oh, this is Buffalo. And then I look at the thing and said, KC. I'm like, okay, this is Chiefs. All right, exactly where I want to be.
Exactly where I want to be. I think Chiefs fans enjoy hearing that. Now, the Bills did get Keon Coleman, my guy Keon, who's having a solid year. Xavier Worthy, of course, putting up some good numbers himself. But is the rest of the league just incompetent? I've never, ever, ever in my life heard of a team calling and then hanging up the phone. It is crazy. It makes no sense. Julio, this is where I think it's. I'm not saying that the Chiefs are lucky. I'm not saying that they're fortunate. But the rest of the league, these are some of the things that noticeably over the last, you know, however long you want to say, have happened here outside of what the Chiefs are doing, because they're doing everything correctly. The Colts have this. They got the Anthony Richardson chaotic situation. Nick Sirianni can't stop calling out the fans. He's not even worried about what's on the field. The Bengals don't want to pay anybody. The Bills are cursed, and they also gave the Chiefs Patrick Mahomes, essentially, with the picks. They gave him Xavier Worthy, as we just mentioned. And apparently, other teams just want to help the Chiefs. The Tennessee Titans, here you go. Here's DeAndre Hopkins for you. The New England Patriots, here's Joshua Uche for you. It is baffling. And maybe this is me, as a Bengals fan, just feeling sad, and I can cry my tears the way that I want to cry my tears, and you guys can laugh at me. But it is insane how incompetent the rest of the league is compared to the Chiefs, who cross their T's and dot their I's better than anybody else in the league. They got the best GM. They got the best coach, for my money, the best quarterback of all time. And they're getting everything that they need to continue and be on this three-peat stretch. I might be ranting. I don't know if that's what it sounds like. 913-586-7965. But Julio, I saw this and I had to do a double take. Like, excuse me? You called somebody and then you hung up the phone as if you didn't mean to call them. It was ridiculous, and I think it's embarrassing for the Colts. It's a really, really bad look.
That's a bad look. That's a bad story for them, no doubt. And here's how you know also that it wasn't a mistake, because they drafted Adonai Mitchell in the second round.
Yeah, A.D. Mitchell.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, they were looking for a wide receiver in those first couple of rounds. So that wasn't a mistake. Which, oh man, how do you even do that? I mean, just last minute after you pick up the phone saying you're going to draft him, hang up because somebody said no, you're not.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on, but it's not like Xavier answered and then they just hung up the phone. They said, hey, this is so and so with the Colts.
Who they were? Yeah.
Oh yeah, that is a horrendously bad look. And then Xavier Worthy thinks he's going to the Bills. Like, all right. And then he's like, "This is the Kansas City Chiefs." Like, oh, this is where I want to be, man.
I mean, it worked out for him, right? And us.
Absolutely. And I think that Xavier Worthy is only going to continue getting better and better and better. Obviously, with that 4-2 speed, 4.21 speed, breaking the combine record. Someone from the 913 says, Worthy's going to be ready for the playoffs just like Rice last year. That's the interesting part of the wide receiver conversation, sort of the, like what Mac and I had talked about last week, is, you know, what do they do with the options? They end up going, obviously, and getting D-Hop. But Xavier Worthy is unique for the speed that he has. But being able to be in the same room as a guy like Rashee Rice, who, while he's going through the rehab and stuff like that, he's got the experience of going through a rookie season where either he had to be the guy, which Rashee Rice did last year, but just in general, having to play and having to give production in your rookie season that maybe you wouldn't have gotten had Hollywood Brown obviously stayed healthy, had Rashee Rice stayed healthy. And those things, along with Hollywood Brown, a guy that is known for having his speed, obviously a good route runner as well. He's in the right spot because of the wide receiver room and what they've done. And sometimes, you know, Bink and I harp on the fact that we thought the Chiefs could get another wide receiver in the draft to get rid of Sky Moore, make it a little bit easier. But in terms of what they did in the offseason at the important spots, the 1, 2, 3, 4, the fact of having Rashee Rice, they go and they get Hollywood Brown. They get Xavier Worthy. You have a reliable weapon in Justin Watson, but then they also bring in Juju Smith-Schuster. So they bring him back again. They're bringing in guys that are comfortable with the system, obviously, but they're also ones who Xavier Worthy can learn from. And if they go get another wide receiver again in the draft, then it's going to be a young nucleus of a group that is all helping Patrick Mahomes be a better quarterback. Even though he's having the down year now, just thinking about what they could be in the playoffs when they get Hollywood Brown back, thinking about what they can be by the time they get to the playoffs, because Xavier Worthy's continuing to grow and learn from the 816. Just think of all the knowledge Xavier Worthy's getting from DeAndre Hopkins. That is the thing that does, I guess, goes unnoticed. It's not paid attention to enough. And Dana Hughes was just in here on Players Only. Obviously a former wide receiver, he'd be able to talk to it better than I would. But I would think having a guy that is a multiple-time All-Pro, a guy that is probably going to be in the Hall of Fame, I think Hall of Fame worthy just based on the numbers that he's given, it only can mean good things for Xavier Worthy and his development, as long as he can obviously stay healthy. He's learning, and that's been from the jump. Patrick Mahomes has said it over the summertime, like he's a sponge for learning. He's asking all the right questions. The rest of the league, it's amazing how many bad headlines are around a lot of teams. The Cowboys stink. They can't make anything out of the talent that they have. Defensively, they're awful.
They don't have talent, by the way. Dallas is...
Okay.
I mean, they've got like three or four...
Star power. Yes.
Otherwise...
Depth. I think you're right, Julio. I think you're right about that. I'm going to talk about the Ravens here in a minute after the break-in getting into the next segment. Ryan Clark had something to say about the Ravens that... If you haven't heard it today, you need to listen. From the jump, there have been going into this season, I think, only a couple of contenders. Like we thought going into the season, okay, yeah, it's the Bengals, it's the Bills, it's the Ravens, maybe it's the Texans. Jury's still out on them. What happens with C.J. Stroud going into this year? Maybe somebody else shows up at the table. We don't believe the Chargers are going in yet. All of that has kind of looked accurate up to this point, other than the Bengals are 3-5, they could be out of the picture here within a couple of weeks. So you're narrowing down the contenders in the AFC. You look at the rest of the NFL as a whole and you think, how many teams can actually beat this Chiefs team? Obviously, nobody has to this point, but there's very few. And Ryan Clark had something to say that I disagree with. You're going to hear that in just a moment. Later on in the hour, before we wrap it up too, Nate Taylor was on with Bob and Dusty this morning, and I thought asked a really good question. More on that a little bit later in the hour regarding a word that he would describe for this Chiefs team. Friend from the 913, Hollywood and Pacheco. Yeah, that's right. Isaiah Pacheco is coming back too. So Kareem Hunt, I don't know what they do with Carson Steele. I don't know what they do with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think Samaje Perine is going to be the odd man out, I'll be honest. But you have the 1-2 punch of Isaiah Pacheco and you have Kareem Hunt. You have Travis Kelce still, of course, which I haven't even mentioned. You have Noah Gray, who's having a big-time season, a highly productive season. If they get back to the playoffs healthy, I think it'll be really hard to find a team that can actually beat them given the personnel that they're going to have, because they're winning now with the personnel that they have. They're going to get even better technically when they get into the playoffs. And that's what I think makes them really dangerous. Obviously against anybody who they play.
I think, you know, a lot of this year though, there's been, it just feels like a lot of injuries happening to like a lot of key players. Like you look,
yeah,
you know, the Texans, for example, I mean, they had just such a dynamic offense. They're two main, you know, the Bucks, same thing. The mm-hmm. Chiefs, same thing. There's just been a lot. So it's kind of brought, which I think is partially part of the reason why offense as a whole is down this year. But yeah, you're right. There's no other teams that are really separating themselves or distinguishing themselves. And it's not like the Chiefs necessarily are, but they're winning and consistently winning and playing consistent football. Whereas a lot of these other teams, man, are just so up and down, up and down. I don't know what to expect, honestly, going into the playoffs this year, at least not at this point.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's still, I mean, we're not even to like the halfway point of the season yet. I mean, some teams are. I mean, we're right on that cusp of the halfway point. And to your point, Julio, the 49ers are dealing with some stuff. Everybody seems to be dealing with some issues. But again, there's one team that continues to just find ways to win. And that is the Kansas City Chiefs. Amidst all the incompetence in the rest of the league, the Chiefs know what they're doing, evidently. And Xavier Worthy is happy to be a Kansas City Chief after being snubbed, if you were hung up on, by the Indianapolis Colts. Up next, Ryan Clark, you're going to hear from him on who he thinks is the scariest team in the NFL. And for whatever reason, it's not the Kansas City Chiefs. You'll hear that next. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
It's a happy Halloween. After Hours continues here on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for KC sports. If you want to be a part of the show, 913-586-7965. You might have some thoughts on this here. Ryan Clark did not say the Chiefs are the scariest team in the NFL. As a matter of fact, he said a team that the Chiefs have already played this year are, in fact, the scariest team to him. This is what Ryan Clark had to say earlier today on ESPN.
I'm picking the Ravens as the scarier team because right now, if you take away history, right, and you take away the things that we knew before 2024, Lamar Jackson is the best player alive. Right, the best player living sure. is Lamar Jackson. This is the year that Lamar Jackson becomes the champion. This is the year
Didn't
that Lamar
Jackson. Didn't we say that last
Jackson,
year, RC? Didn't we say that last year? They were positioned last year to do it.
But here's the other piece of it is too, though. Last year, the defense was better. Right, the defense was better last year, and Lamar started to play great toward the end of the season. He wasn't this animal. Lamar wasn't the animal that every time I watched him walk on the field right now, I know what it's going to be. Lamar Jackson ain't got to win three in one year. He just has to win one. And when I watch this team right now, if I'm preparing to play either one of these teams, I'm more comfortable that I'm going to be in the game with Kansas City and I got to just find a way to win at the end than I am walking into Baltimore knowing that they might blow my doors off because I can't stop them.
Look, no offense to Ryan Clark, but I think he's dead wrong about this. And it's funny because the adage, defense wins championships, the defense this year stinks. They stink.
Their secondary is so
Julio,
bad.
I'm telling you right so now, bad. For those who don't know, anybody who's a Ravens fan, if they slide into the DMs, if they're going after you on social media, you can clap back with this stat right here. The Ravens give up 291 passing yards per game. 291 passing yards per game. In the last three, by the way, they give up over 300. They give up 291 passing yards per game. The Chiefs give up 295 total yards per game. So the Chiefs single-handedly are almost outperforming the secondary alone for the Ravens. Collectively, 295 total yards given up by the Chiefs. The Ravens give up 291 in the passing game alone. Yes, Lamar Jackson is better, but I think RC mentioned this as well. He said, the defense was better last year. Defense wins you championships. That's number one. Number two, he said Lamar Jackson was getting better. Lamar Jackson had a team that was capable of, they were the one seed. They were capable of winning the conference last year. They were capable of going to the Super Bowl. This year, while Lamar Jackson may be better, the defense is not suited for them to make a championship run. The Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow is playing lights out. He's playing just as good as Lamar Jackson, just as good as any quarterback in the league. The Bengals are 3-5 because the defense stinks. They're not championship caliber. Josh Allen, to me, is the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He is balling on another level, even better than Lamar Jackson, because he hasn't had the turnover problem. This team is not scary to the Chiefs to me, not only because of what we've seen this year, but because of what we've seen previously. The Chiefs have the second best run defense in the league, something that the Ravens do very well. That's kind of their MO. We'll get to, and then a little bit later this hour, as I mentioned, Nate Taylor had something to say. There's one thing that you can always count on with this Chiefs team. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But one of the aspects of that unit, of the Chiefs team, is the defense that has been so good for the last year and a half. There was... You can go ahead, Julio.
So with the Ravens, I just don't see where he's coming from with the aspect that last year's Ravens team was a good team. They were 13-4. We're halfway through the season, and they already have three losses.
They just lost to the Browns.
They already have three losses. And a lot of those wins were ugly losses. And with how weak their secondary is, man, the market right now, like I don't foresee them getting any help from any kind of trades right now, because the cornerback position is just not, it's not where it typically is when it comes to, you know, around the trade deadline. So he might be right. Maybe, you know, you can make your case for whoever is the best. He's right. He's the best player. Is he the best quarterback? No. So I just no respect, man, which is good for us, right? Because I mean, that's just more food for the fire, man. Just keep undervaluing us, overlooking us, and we'll just keep skating by. I'm good with it.
From the 913, Lamar's a good regular season quarterback. Playoffs win when the real season starts. Mahomes is 15-3 in the playoffs. That's facts. Lamar Jackson has struggled.
Is he going to make it healthy through all the way through the season?
I think that is also another valid point that goes, you know, at this point, you would almost say, well, without even bringing it up, because we've seen before, he's had issues. Not that you can count on
week,
it.
By the way. I mean, he got roughed up in that Browns game, so we'll see, man.
I think that Lamar Jackson is a really, really good quarterback. He's really good.
He's amazing.
But in the conversation of which team is scariest, the Chiefs should not be scared of the Baltimore Ravens at all whatsoever. I'm on the record last week with Mac talking about this. I've said it before on Cody and Gold. To me, the scariest teams to the Chiefs are the Bills and the Bengals, one of which you might not even have to worry about.
No AFC, no NFC teams?
I think in the AFC. If we're talking NFC, I think the one team that really is scary is the Detroit Lions. Yeah. I do think the 49ers can pose some problems, but
the Packers could pose some.
The Packers as well. Those are the three in the NFC. I don't think anybody else after that. But if you're looking in the AFC, I think the jury is still out on Houston, because they're playing tonight on Thursday Night Football against the Jets. Again, they should win, but CJ Stroud has looked up and down. He hasn't been great. They're dealing with the injury issues that you mentioned. Was Stephon Diggs out for the season? Nico Collins, he's going to come back eventually. But they haven't been as good as we thought they would. Like, they've won games, but they haven't looked as convincingly good as we thought they might be, where you say, oh yeah, they're a contender. They're good. The jury's still out on Houston. But the Bills, I think Josh Allen is scarier than Lamar Jackson is, because the Chiefs know what he can do in the playoffs, because he can be Superman. The defense has been iffy at times recently. Josh Allen can put on his cape and get the job done. Lamar Jackson hasn't been able to put on his cape and get the job done. Now, if he goes this year with this defense and beats the Chiefs and somehow makes it to the Super Bowl, he will get all the flowers that he deserves, even more so than now.
I will say with your Bills point, though, they haven't really... their defense is suspect. It hasn't quite been exposed the way that maybe the Ravens have, because of their schedule. When they've played good to above average teams, the Bills have struggled.
They did get smacked by the Ravens earlier this year,
and they got smacked around. So while the Bills are playing good ball right now against that higher competition, I want to see what that defense does.
I'm intrigued to see what they look like here in a couple weeks against the Chiefs, and just even as the season goes on, because Amari Cooper is still getting comfortable with that team. Keon Coleman is starting to really develop. Dalton Kincaid, obviously, we know how good he is.
Amari Cooper, they picked up. You know, that's
Amari Cooper is fantastic. Yeah. James Cook is one of the best running backs in football.
Offense is spectacular. It's the defense.
Yeah, and I think with Josh Allen having the weapons, he's a guy that I think everybody going into the season thought maybe he could be MVP, because the wide receiver unit, they didn't really have anybody like that with Diggs being gone, and they had the rookie in Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir. The Bills and the Bengals are the scariest. I know that the Bengals might not make the playoffs, but there is one team that has beaten the Chiefs when it matters most, and that is the Cincinnati Bengals. If they make the playoffs, they are a scary team, whether they're 9-8, Julio, or whether they're 11-6. If the Bengals were to win a playoff game and go to Arrowhead, you can't tell me that Chiefs fans would just be 100% confident, oh yeah, we're winning this game. You would be a little bit nervous if you had to play the Bengals in January to go to the AFC title game, knowing that you should have lost the game in week 2, and you've lost before in a moment that matters most to that quarterback. That's why I think the Ravens shouldn't scare you at all.
I don't think the word nervous is what, I mean, it was close, yes. But again, the Bengals have an awful defense, though, man. They're just,
true.
Like, there's just not very many teams this year that are just solid, good all-around teams playing complementary football. And that's the biggest thing the Chiefs bring to the table, is they play complementary football.
I think that if you were to say right now, who are the scariest teams? I don't think the Ravens, in the NFL, I don't think the Ravens are in the top four. Because I know that I know Lamar Jackson's playing great. The defense stinks so bad that with how good the Chiefs defense is, you know that they're going to show up and you know that they're going to limit Derrick Henry. You know that Lamar Jackson's going to have a hard time. When they get these guys back, if they play in the playoffs and the Chiefs have Hollywood Brown and they have Xavier Worthy better, they have DeAndre Hopkins, they have the 1-2 punch of Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, they've got Kelsey and Gray. This game, I'm telling you right now, if they play the Ravens, it is going to be a 10-point game or more. They're going to win the game and they're going to win it convincingly if they play the Baltimore Ravens again. There's me waving my Chiefs flag for everybody.
You'll get no argument from me.
913-586-7965 from the 816. The eye test says they're not as good as the Chiefs. I'm telling you. Everybody said, well, the Ravens didn't play that great and they almost beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs didn't play their best game either in that one. So I think the idea that the Ravens would be better than the Chiefs right now is ridiculous given what we've seen. If your eyes are telling you anything and you believe in the eye test, the Ravens are not as good as the Chiefs, and it's not that close because they lost Mike McDonald, and you can knock on the Bengals all you want to. Lou Anarumo, for whatever reason, knows how to plan against the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's why I think the game would make you more nervous than it would be facing the Baltimore Ravens. Up next, the college football slate is a good one this weekend. Missouri, unfortunately, they're probably done. Is K-State the only hope for the college football playoff out of the locals? We'll talk about that next on After Hours. It's 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
It's After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC sports. It is basketball season now, and that is a classic. Love it.
We're going cliche tonight, you know?
Huh?
We're going cliche tonight.
Oh, well, it's Halloween. The out of left field question, not so out of left field today. I made it a little bit different than what I was going to do. It's not basic. It's not corny. We're going to make it a little bit different. But yes, it has to do with the holiday today. Speaking of basketball, we're going to talk about that in the next hour. In about 45 minutes or so, the WNBA could be coming to Kansas City. How about that? That would be exciting. For me, I'd love an NBA team here, but hey, WNBA, there's basketball. Caitlin Clark is hooping. Women's basketball is on the rise in terms of popularity. It's great. It's awesome to see. We'll talk about that a little bit more in hour number two. But the college football slate this weekend, you might look at it and be like, there's only a couple good games. I mean, there's the one. There's Ohio State and Penn State. Obviously, that is a good one at 11, the big noon kickoff. Number 18, Pitt. At number 20, SMU is a good one as well. Sneaky good. Missouri are off. They face Oklahoma next week. But after the game against Alabama, unfortunately, their season's probably done in terms of the college football playoff chances. This was almost a must-win, a college football de facto elimination game. They needed to beat Alabama. Unfortunately, Brady Cook couldn't go. And based on what we saw from Drew Pine a couple weeks ago, they were not going to win if Drew Pine had to play. He did. They lost. The defense, I thought, played very well, actually, but it could only hang on for so long. Kansas State, on the flip side, they win the Sunflower Showdown, which was an awesome game. I thought it was going to be good. Kansas finds yet another way to lose a game, which is, I feel bad for Kansas football. I'm sure they feel bad, too, about themselves, but hey, they're the number one team in the country in college hoops, and that's starting up here next week, actually. So something else Kansas fans can get behind. But K-State, I think they're the only hope for the college football playoff the rest of the way. They have a team in Houston this week who are not that great, a team that they should be rolling through, and then they get Arizona State, Cincinnati, then they get Iowa State. That's the big game to end the regular season. If they beat Iowa State, they can get to the college football playoff by winning the Big 12. The way things have kind of shaken out, actually, two Big 12 teams, I think, actually have a better chance at getting in than what I would have thought at the beginning of the season. And I think all K-State really has to do is make sure they get there. You at least have a chance by getting to the Big 12 title game. If you lose to Iowa State, even though you're 10-2, your season's probably done in terms of you going to the playoff and being involved in that conversation. The Athletic came out with a projection after week 9. They come out with projections every single week with percentage chances to go to the playoff, to win the conference, etc. They think Kansas State's going to win the Big 12. Right now, Kansas State, they give a 46% chance to make the college football playoff, 46 also for Iowa State, 42% for BYU. According to this, they think that they're going to beat Iowa State. They think that they're going to go to the Big 12 title game and they're going to win the Big 12. I think that Kansas State making it is all down to that one game. I think they're going to bounce back and they'll be able to win the conference title game if they get there. They just got to beat Iowa State to do it. And they've been able to take care of business. Avery Johnson has been the go-to guy for K-State so far. They run the ball very well. DJ Giddens, one of the best running backs in the country. Dare I say he's the second best running back in the nation behind Ashton Jeanty. But the 12-team playoff for college football, it makes it more fun, Julio, to talk about, I think, because previously we've only had four teams, and it's always the same four in the conversation. It's been Ohio State, it's been Michigan, it's been Alabama, it's been Georgia. Throw in a Clemson every now and then, or a Washington, whatever other team you want to include in there, Texas, whoever. But it's only about four or five, six teams that you want to talk about. Now, I mentioned that Kansas State has been in the college football playoff conversation. You got other teams like Iowa State. Texas A&M is in the conversation. SMU is in the conversation. Army is in the conversation. LSU could potentially be in there. Pitt is in there. Colorado, who knows what they can do the rest of the way. They're in there. These are all teams that are outside of the top 12 right now that I'm giving to you, and they're involved in the conversation still, and we're at the halfway point, beyond the halfway point of the season. This is what the 12-team playoff was supposed to do, and I think some of us were critical, myself included. You know, there's mulligans in college football now, and not every game matters. It does matter because the conversation is spread out where it's not just four or five teams anymore. You can include Kansas State. Missouri would be included in there normally if they were only having two losses, but the schedule is so light. But I think it creates more conversation for college football, and it's more popular than it's ever been, I think, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. And look, this is what fans want, right? They want a chance. They just want a shot. And at the end of the day, we'll probably end up with the same 4 to 6 teams, you know, in those last few rounds. That's probably how it'll end up being. But at least other teams can say they got a shot. So, and it's yeah, like the NIL or anything else. Like they're going to have to work out the kinks and this and that. But I think overall it's tremendous for the sport. And I don't know that it's been more popular than it is now, or at least fans are more engaged throughout the entirety of the season.
For like the casual college football fan, I think it makes it a lot more entertaining. Like it's not just the same old teams where, you know, people who follow Kansas State, they're always going to follow Kansas State and they're going to go 8-4 or 9-3. Or 10-2 and still be excited regardless of whether they're in or not. But it gets people excited around the area. Like, I didn't go to Kansas State. I don't claim to be a Kansas State fan. I don't claim to be a Missouri fan or a KU fan. But it's good to see those teams do well. And I think they also implemented the home playoff game. The on-campus game is really important because it can showcase and highlight college towns to people who might have never been to Manhattan or been to South Bend or been to Austin, Texas, or Bloomington, Indiana, if the Hoosiers keep on doing what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to kind of further along those same lines of keeping the casual fan engaged, right? I can speak for myself, but I'm not the biggest college football fan by any means. And I know when it came to bowl season, like, I really didn't care what team won what bowls. It made no difference to me, but I know that I'll pay attention now to this 12-team playoffs, you know, kind of situation, because I want to see who advances. I want to see who gets upset. It gives me a reason to actually care to watch somebody that I typically otherwise wouldn't care about.
Yeah, I think one of the good things, and I talked about this on the podcast, 249 miles of college football. If you haven't downloaded, if you don't know what it is, it's all about college football. I focus on Mizzou, K-State, and KU, but we talk about college football as a whole. It gives you more opportunities to see really cool stories. Like, we normally get those in college football, but not like the Cinderella story that you do in college basketball, where a team just goes on a hot run and they're a nobody and they make it. Indiana football was a nobody last year, and all of a sudden they're undefeated. I don't know if any other coach has done what Coach Kurt Cignetti has done in going 3-9 and then flipping it in the next year to go 8-0 to start the year, but they might make the college football playoff. They're the best story in college football. Colorado is doing great with the turnaround that they're having. KU was a great story last year. With more popularity comes more criticism, I think. College football has been criticized for name, image, and likeness on all the other stuff that's going on, which I think name, image, and likeness is great. It's just finding out some guidelines for it and figuring out all of that stuff. But the sport, I think, is maybe never more nationally popular, to your point, Julio, of what it's ever been. And people who are the casual fan are more interested because there's different storylines. It's not just the typical teams that are in the conversation for the college football playoff. Up next, one team that is always going to be in the conversation for the big game, the Super Bowl, is the Kansas City Chiefs. As long as they have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they still do. Nate Taylor was on Fesco and Dusty earlier today and gave one word that he would describe the Kansas City Chiefs as. 913-586-7965. There's one word that you can describe the Kansas City Chiefs as. What is that word? Text in. We'll take those text messages. Calls as well if you want to call in. Who knows? We'll take your calls, text messages next. The Chiefs are blank. That comes next as After Hours continues right here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
After Hours continues on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for KC sports. All right. One word that you would use to describe the Kansas City Chiefs, the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs, that is. Nate Taylor was on this morning with Fesco and Dusty and was asked if there was one word that he would use to describe the Kansas City Chiefs, what would it be? And he said reliable.
They are reliable. You know, the defense is what I mostly attribute that to. Because you can put them in not great situations and they usually make the best out of it. I think Patrick Mahomes is reliable regardless of who's around him. I think that's sort of the evolution that we're really starting to come to grip with. You know, it's like, hey, it'd be great if he had, like, you know, awesome weapons or healthy, you know, skill position players. It really doesn't matter. He's reliable enough. Like, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is willing to be traded in the middle of the season because Patrick Mahomes is that reliable that he can make it work. He can make it viable. So again, not sexy, but like, hey, if the game's on the line and Harrison Butker has to make a field goal, guess what? You're going to rely on him.
Yeah.
He's reliable. He's always been very consistent in those situations. If it's a game between, you know, an up and coming head coach or a future Hall of Fame head coach, the more reliable option is usually Andy Reid.
In the last year and a half, last year and this year, I said this on Sunday, right after the Chiefs made that goal line stand after Mahomes had that tip ball that was picked off. The defense, to my knowledge, has not had one game, one moment, where when they needed to make a stop, they failed to do so. I can't think, and I might be wrong, I can't think of a single solitary moment.
You're right.
In the last year and a half, in which the defense was called on to make a stop, to do anything, to win the game, and they didn't do it. Which, to me, I think Nate hit the nail on the head with this one. My word that I would say is dependable, which I guess along the exact same lines is reliable. Somebody from the 913 says undefeated, obviously.
Yep, I like that.
It's a good way to describe that.
I said mine earlier, consistent, the same thing.
Whether it's Harrison Butker, whether it's Patrick Mahomes in the fourth quarter, because yes, he's had his struggles, but when he needs to use his legs to make a play, he uses his legs to make a play. Like he, and you know, as infuriating as it might be for Bengals fans, for Bills fans, for anybody else to see, I think even if you are, you have to be brutally honest with yourself sometimes. And anybody who watches the Chiefs play, I think reliable, consistent, dependable is the word that you have to use if you pay attention and you watch this team, because, you know, Mahomes doesn't hadn't had the wide receiver crew last year, but they won it all because I think the defense was dependable. When Mahomes needed to make the play, he was dependable. There were a lot of ugly games last year, but when it came down to it and making a play, you could rely on Andy Reid to call the right play, to make the right decision. Harrison Butker, to Nate's point, of making the kick, the defense for making a stop and making a play. That's why they are the best team in football last year. That's why they're the best team this year. And from the 913, persistent. That's the word that they would describe the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs are. Because they've had their back up against the wall with the injuries. This is a lot of times the thing that prevents you from three-peating, Julio. I mean, you mentioned it. Injuries happen. Will Anderson just went down in the Thursday night game and had to go into the blue medical tent. He's a stud. He's one of the key playmakers for the Texans. Not to say that the Texans aren't going to be useful without him on the field. And yes, if Chris Jones went down, not saying we hope, obviously not that we hope he doesn't, but if Chris Jones goes down, I think given what we've seen from the Chiefs over the last couple of years, it stinks. It would stink and you would have a key player down, but you can rely on Steve Spagnuolo to make the right decision as to who's playing and for that player to make the play that's needed to win the game. It might not look great. It might be a little bit uglier, but when it comes down to it, they've been able to make the play every single time.
Well, and that's exactly what I was gonna say, and the fact that this is really, with all of these injuries, that's where coaching starts to be able to separate. It's the good coaches from the bad coaches, the excellent coaches versus just, you know, above average coaches. So, you know, talent kind of, it can cover some of those flaws, some of those within schemes, and that. But when the talent drops, it's the coaching that's going to really shine. And I think with, again, consistency with how we, with Andy Reid and Spagnuolo and how damn good they are. I mean, that's really at this point is what's setting them apart is the coaching and the scheming.
And I didn't even mention Brett Veach. He's the most reliable, the most dependable GM on the planet. Somebody from the 913 as well just texted in. Resourceful.
Love that.
Guess who makes it resourceful? Yeah. Brett Veach.
Don't you wish you had Brett Veach?
Oh, yeah.
Brett Veach couldn't be Brett Veach if he was with the Bengals.
I think there's some truth to that. Because you have the best coach in the NFL. You have the best quarterback that's ever played the game. I think that when you provide the best defensive coordinator ever with the players that have maybe the talent, because you just mentioned, you know, they're going up against other teams that have talent, but the coaching can separate it. If you have guys that have talent, maybe they're young, but they can develop really well, they maybe hit their peak at a sooner point, or their peak is just higher than what it would be in any other place. We talk all the time. I think one of the things that, especially with quarterbacks, it's kind of forgotten is where you're drafted actually, like Mahomes would be good if he went anywhere else. He's not the greatest quarterback of all time if he goes anywhere else. If he went to the Bears, he's not the greatest quarterback of all time. He might be really good, but he's not the GOAT.
Situations matter.
Situations matter 100%. And when you have the best GM, the best coach, the best defensive coordinator, the best quarterback, all of it works out in your favor because you know how to use the money. You know what moves to make. You're out there making moves in a year where you can go and you three-peat. One of the questions coming into this season, Julio, I'm sure you probably had it, everybody had it, was how all-in are they going to be this year for that three-peat? They went out and they got Hollywood Brown. They went out and...
But they really didn't go all-in.
They
didn't mortgage anything for the future.
They got Hollywood Brown. You think, okay, he goes down. Rashee Rice goes down. Okay, what are they going to do? They're getting depth now. DeAndre Hopkins, I'm going to get to him in a second because there is an atrocious take on Twitter that came from earlier today on Fox Sports Radio that we have to get to regarding DeAndre Hopkins and the Chiefs offense. You're going to love it, Chiefs fans. But they went out and they got Joshua Uche to just further improve the pass rush. They're going to get Charles Omenihu back. They're going to get Hollywood Brown back. Pacheco's coming back. They brought back Kareem Hunt, who has been a dog for them. He's been great for them. And they barely mortgaged anything to do that. So even though they might lose a couple of draft picks, you know who you can rely on because he is reliable, because he is dependable, is Brett Veach. Even though there's less picks, he's going to take advantage of what they have in this year's draft. Another person from the 75 this time, undefeated. I'm sure that has a nice ring to it.
It feels nice, you know?
Real quick, before we go to break and wrap up the hour. Rob Parker. I don't know if you recognize that name or not.
Oh, yeah.
Formerly on Fox Sports. He's with The Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio, and Chris Broussard said this today. Quote, regarding the Chiefs' offense. Their offense is stinky. Patrick Mahomes is worse than Daniel Jones. As usual, the Chiefs did the bare minimum. I didn't even know DeAndre Hopkins was still in the league. He's not even a starter anymore. He only gets like 40% of the snaps. Stop shopping at Goodwill and go to Saks Fifth Avenue. That's where the Jets went. That's where the Bills went. All they do now is bring back rejects. I'll be honest. How's that going for the Jets? How's it going, Rob?
You should model after, right?
How's it going, Rob? The Jets right now have 0 points against the Houston Texans. The Colts scored more points than the Jets are right now with Anthony Richardson, who called out for a play. The Bills went, yes, and they got Amari Cooper. DeAndre Hopkins had over 1,000 yards last season. DeAndre Hopkins is a Hall of Famer. DeAndre Hopkins only got 40% of the snaps because he was only on the roster for 2 days before they played. He got like two days of practice and still showed up and made plays. Yes, they bring back quote-unquote rejects, but Juju Smith-Schuster is playing really well. Kareem Hunt is playing really well. Joshua Uche is not a reject. He had double-digit sacks a couple years ago, and with Spags, who knows how good he could be. So again, they didn't work out somewhere else. They can work out in Kansas City because they have the best defensive coordinator, the best head coach, the best GM, the best quarterback to ever play the game. It is only the Chiefs can do this because everybody else stinks. I mentioned it earlier. Xavier Worthy was hung up on during the draft. Only another team would do that. The Chiefs would never. It's only other teams that make these mistakes and have these issues, blaming fans, not paying people. It is amazing how every other team, Julio, seems to mess up time and time again, but the Kansas City Chiefs are the only team that is on the straight and narrow. They're focused, and they get the job done. It's very annoying, I will say that, as a Bengals fan to watch, because my team doesn't do that.
As Chiefs fans,
you got to feel good.
I like to hear that. And it's because the Chiefs have the infrastructure and the creativity to bring out the best in those players that other teams just couldn't pull out of players. So
wasn't that a ridiculous comment?
That's a ridiculous
take. The offense is stinky. Well, they're not as bad as you think.
I was going to say, aren't they top 10 in yards per game? And I think they're like 11th
they
in
are.
Scoring or it's something somewhere around there.
Chiefs did the bare minimum. Guess what? They're still undefeated.
So
I think Rob's just mad. I think Rob's just hating a little bit.
He's a hater. He's just being a hater. Yeah, hot take hater.
First quarter is about to be over in the Thursday night game, by the way.
This is an ugly
Texans, game. Zero. Jets, zero. They went and got the Bugatti. They went and got Devontae Adams.
I thought the Jets got fired, man.
They went and got Devontae Adams.
Gosh,
Here we go, baby. No points. Yikes. That's all I got to say about that. Up next on After Hours, the out of left field question. And in about 20 minutes, the WNBA could be coming to Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes had comments about this, why that matters a lot. And whether or not a team could be coming here to Kansas City. Don't go anywhere. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.